Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed children of God, there's something about stories that draw us in and that we love. Whether they're stories that are completely made up or stories that are completely true. And today, we see perhaps the most famous story that Jesus has told. It's the parable of the lost son. And a parable is an earthly story with a spiritual heavenly meaning. Now, I will tell you that I am not the first one who has made the observation that this parable shouldn't be called the lost son, but rather the parable of the lost sons. Because both sons needed help in this story. But as we look at this parable, I don't want us to focus on it being the parable of the lost son or the lost sons, but rather as the parable of the loving father. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Right before this happens, Jesus said to the people, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so these tax collectors and sinners came to Jesus to listen to him, and Jesus welcomed them and ate with them. But when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law see this, they become upset. Why? Why do they act in this way? It's because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law thought that they were the ones who were obeying God's law. And since these tax collectors and sinners were not obeying God's law, therefore, no one should associate with them, and everyone should distance themselves from them. But this is where Jesus masterfully gets to the heart of the issue. For as he tells this parable, he reaches out to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and to these tax collectors and sinners and points them to the great love of God. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. What a despicable son this man was. A son would receive the inheritance when his father died, or in very rare circumstances, if the father would willingly give the inheritance to his children. But here, the son demanded for his estate. He could not wait for his father to die. Surprisingly, the father gave his younger son his share of the inheritance, and maybe hoping that his son would stay and still be with him. But the parable goes on to say, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. The son leaves his father, and he doesn't travel a short distance away from his father. He travels to a far distant country. And even then, the father might have hoped that his son would use the wealth he had received to secure his life. But the son squandered everything that he had in wild living. Eventually, the money ran out. All the friends that he acquired through his parties and wild living were no longer there for him. A severe famine comes throughout the land, and he has nothing to take care of himself. And so he has to hire himself out to work with pigs. And remember that Jesus is speaking this parable to Jewish people. The Jewish people would have viewed pigs as being one of the most unclean animals. And therefore, since this son worked with these pigs, he was one of the most unclean people. Essentially, there was no redeeming quality left to this son. But eventually the son comes to his senses and he says to himself, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" The son hoped that if he apologized to his father would welcome him back. Not necessarily as his son, but at least as a worker. But if you were the father, would you accept his apology? Here's your son who treated you as if you were dead to him. He demanded his inheritance. He left you, deserted you, and traveled to a distant country. He squandered everything that you gave him. Would you accept his repentance? But here we see a parable of the loving father. Even before the son gets to his father, the father is still looking out, hoping to see his son once again. And when he sees his son, he runs up to him, throws his arms around him, kisses him, and welcomes him back. Even when the son says to his father, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son," the father dresses him up in the finest clothes. He slaughters the fattened calf, which was reserved for special celebrations, and he rejoices that his dead, lost son is alive and found again. The spiritual, heavenly meaning of this parable is simple to understand. The father in this parable is God the Father, and the younger son is us. Because can't we see ourselves acting like this dead, lost son? Have we ever treated God with contempt and viewed him as being dead to us unless he gave us what we demanded? Have we ever distanced ourselves from God by neglecting his word, neglecting his worship, neglecting to go to him in prayer? Have we ever squandered the grace and the blessings that God has lavished upon us in wild, sinful living? There are things that we have done that make us spiritually unclean before God. There are things that we have done that people are ashamed of what we have done. How much more should God be ashamed of us? God should treat us as if we were dead to him. But here in this parable, we see the love of God our Father. From all eternity, he looked out to us and found us and called us his sons and his daughters. Although God should treat us as if we were dead to Him, and even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, God made us alive in Jesus Christ our Savior. Although we have distanced ourselves from God, Jesus traveled a far distance by coming down from heaven to our earth to redeem us to Him. Although we have squandered God's grace and His blessings in wild, sinful living, Jesus lived a life of perfection, holiness, and righteousness for us. Although we have done countless things that makes us spiritually unclean before God, Jesus took all of those unclean things, placed them upon Himself by His death on the cross, and He shed His blood to cleanse us from our sins, to make us clean in God's sight. Although we were dead, lost sinners, God the Father loved us, made us alive, and found us to be with Him. But that's not the end of the parable of the loving Father. The Father also had to show love to His older son. When the son heard about what was happening, he became furious. Even when the father went out to talk to him, the older son said, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." Here we see an ungrateful, unloving son. You can just imagine this older son yelling at his father. He is furious that his father would easily welcome back his brother, considering everything that his brother had done. And it's interesting that the older son doesn't even call his brother here. But he says to the father, "This son of yours." Even though this son had stayed and obeyed his father, he is furious that his father would rejoice and slaughter the fattened calf and give this praise and blessings to his younger brother. But the father lovingly corrects this older son by saying to him, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Can we see ourselves ever acting like this unloving, ungrateful son? When we see someone repent, whether it's to us or to others or to God, there are times that we don't rejoice, but rather we become upset and think that their repentance should not be accepted by anyone. When we have tried to live our lives for God and try not to disobey Him, but when we see someone else whom we think are worse sinners than we are, and yet they change one or two things about their life, and they seem to receive all the praise from people, do we become upset and jealous? Or do we become upset and jealous when we see someone else receiving all these blessings and we think that they shouldn't be receiving them, but it's God who should be blessing us because of what we do? When we act in this way, do we realize who we are like? We are just like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who were upset and jealous that Jesus would welcome sinners and eat with them. And so just like this older son, we too can be unloving and ungrateful. But this is where God the Father lovingly corrects us. He corrects us by telling us that we are to rejoice when someone repents, because He Himself rejoices when we repent and receive His forgiveness. God the Father lovingly corrects us that it's not a competition to see who can receive the most praise from people because of what we do. But we are to rejoice that God sees what we do. And on the last day, He will give us praise for everything that we have done out of love and faith for Him. God the Father lovingly corrects us, for He tells us that we always belong to Him, and everything that He has is ours. By His grace, He has given us everything we need, and by His grace, He will even bless us all the more than we can imagine and more than what we can ask for. He does all of this simply because of His great love for us. And therefore, as He lovingly corrects us, He moves us to be grateful that God loves us and others, so that in the end, we all love Him. We all give Him praise, and we all thank Him for the blessings that we receive. This is how we see Jesus masterfully reaching out to the Pharisees and to the tax collectors and sinners to point them to the great love of God. Just as the Father loved His dead, lost Son, so God the Father has shown love to us dead, lost sinners by making us alive in Jesus Christ our Savior, and has found us to be His children. And just as the Father loved His ungrateful, unloving Son, God the Father lovingly corrects us so that we all rejoice when someone repents and receives the praise and blessings from God. May this parable of the loving Father comfort you and cause us to give praise and love to our God. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you'll find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.